The U.S. Congress passed one big bill over the weekend, the Omnibus Spending Bill, making sure there's going to be money, at least for the moment, to pay for everything the government is doing. At the same time, the Congress decided not to pass another big bill, the Intelligence Reform Bill. NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving joins us now. It's always nice to have you here in Studio 3A, Ron.
Good to be with you, Neil.
How much did Congress have to come up with to keep the lights on and get that spending bill passed?
We'll all be coming up with $388 billion to meet the cost of this particular spending bill. That's, pretty much the main non-defense, non-homeland security spending for the country for the next fiscal year, that is through next September.
And as always in these bills, there is opportunity for individual members of Congress to slip in a little item here or there. There were a couple of particularly controversial ones toward the end in this one involving abortion and another one, tax returns.
Yes, and sometimes they're not so little. In the case of the abortion issue, they're expanding what we sometimes call the conscience clause that applies to doctors and other individual health care providers to apply as well to institutions. So under current law, every state and the federal government have these conscience clauses saying that no doctor can be compelled to perform an abortion if he finds that morally objectionable. And now that's been expanded so that institutions can make the same decision. That would be hospitals, chains of hospitals, HMOs, other insurance arrangements. And that, of course, raises the possibility of a great deal more difficulty for a great number of people who may be seeking an abortion or an abortion referral.
I know. I believe it was Senator Boxer from California said this ain't coming out of this Congress.
Well, she tried very hard to stop it. But about all she was able to do in the Senate when tried to ride down in front of that train was to be promised a vote to take it out of the appropriations bill when Congress returns next year. But, of course, to have that happen, not only the Senate would have to vote to take it out, but the House as well. That seems rather unlikely.
We're speaking with Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. The other controversial item, tax returns. How did that figure in?
Oh, this was a bit of a stunner, and quite a few senators took the floor on Saturday to denounce it. Attempts were made to straighten it out, and then eventually, after all of the main players on the Appropriations Committee had disavowed it, it was effectively decided that it would be removed, and steps are going to be taken in the next few days without having the House and Senate return in full to get it out of the bill. But here's what it amounted to. The House and Senate chairman of the appropriations committees, one in each chamber, would get the power to personally or through some designee visit any IRS office in the country, have access to that office, and have access to its records, which would include, of course, tax returns for businesses and for individuals. And they could then look at them, and the provision said nothing more about any restriction on how they used them. Now, there are some other people who have rights to visit IRS facilities now, including a couple of congressional chairmen for the tax writing committees in the House and in the Senate. But if they were to make any use of those tax returns or divulge any information from them, they would be subject to a federal felony.
Well, if Congress is going to come back and do that little thing, clearly they can then enact the Intelligence Reform Bill.
Congress will not, in fact, return to do this other little thing. They will merely they'll have a kind of skeleton session on Wednesday to finish that up, and Congress will not have to return. Now, there is talk of bringing Congress back two weeks from today, on December 6th, to take up again the intelligence bill. The president says he wants them to. We'll have to see whether or not that actually happens. Most of the people I talk to who are not on television at the moment that you're talking to them will tell you they really doubt that the House and Senate will return on December 6th and 7th, especially in the absence of any deal that we know for certain can actually be passed. Why come back and embarrass themselves in public if they don't have a deal and they can't pass it?
How did this bill fail when the President of the United States was lobbying for it? So was the Vice President. The Republicans in the Senate were all behind it, and many members in the House as well.
If you count the Democratic votes in the House, it clearly had a majority, because most of the Democrats were going to vote for it, and enough Republicans were going to vote for it, it would have passed and probably rather easily. And the leadership of the House also officially said it was for the bill. So you have to ask yourself, if literally everyone who matters is for it, how can two committee chairmen who had objections to it and were raising those objections in private in meetings of just the House Republicans, how can they have the authority to stop it in its tracks? Well, I think that's an excellent question, because I think the answer is they can't. So somewhere along that chain of assumption that the president's for it, the vice president's for it, and all these other leaders are for it, you have to raise the question, are they really for it, or do they just not want to be the people who have blood on their hands if the thing dies? And that question is going to be raised rather often, especially if there is not a session in December to try to return to this bill.
And this will be an issue that NPR News will continue to cover as it plays out to see if Congress does come back on December 6th. Ron Elving, thanks very much. Senior Washington editor Ron Elving here in Studio 3A. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.